Well, I've been really excited to do this episode of The Brothers Grimm. When Jeremy and Brian came to me with the idea to do the 80s, I was like, I love it. And I already have the story that I think would be really, really solid for this season.
We had to twist your arm a little bit. You wanted, like, let's stretch it to, like, the 70s and 90s. I'm like, nah, man, let's try and keep it 80s.
A lot happened in the 70s that I thought would be really fun to explore, but
yeah,
I think 80s is right.
We may get there. We may get to the 70s or do something else.
We'll see. But Jeremy, I know you're going to like this one, too, because it's got some government conspiracies. And if there's one thing that Brian and I hate, it's hearing your government conspiracies.
I do love some good conspiracy theories.
Well, he's been wrong on all of them so far.
Not all of them, just most of them.
Well, this one I think you're gonna enjoy. And I'll tell you why I think you're really gonna enjoy it, because it connects directly to one of our favorite series, Stranger Things.
Always a fan. Season four.
Hey, it's almost here.
And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want you guys to imagine that it's 2008.
It's not the 80s, but...
It's not the 80s, okay. But it's 2008. You and your three friends are looking for a spot on the beach to drop your stuff before heading out to surf. And as you're sticking your surfboards into the sand, you notice a group of people gathering around. There's something. Something is there. Something on the beach. And pushing in for a closer look, you pull out your Canon PowerShot digital camera and snap a couple pics. What you see is horrifying. The dead, unidentified creature that has washed up on shore is grotesque, unlike anything anyone's ever seen, and will spark yet another controversy surrounding the shores of Montauk, New York, in an abandoned military facility known as Camp Hero. Little is truly known of what took place at Camp Hero, but in the 80s, the supposed series of graphic fringe experiments on kidnapped children, which many claimed to endure, became known as the Montauk Project. Telepathy, aliens, portals through time. To this day, true believers actually suggest that Camp Hero isn't all that abandoned. Now, if you're thinking that kidnapping, telepathy, experiments, portals to other times and dimensions sound more like the plot of a TV show than reality, well, you're not wrong, because like we just said, Stranger Things, right? I mean, I literally just like described the plot of Stranger Things.
You really did. Yep.
This is true. For all those who have not seen the trailer to season four, the sound editing with Separate Ways was just...
My God.
Absolute. It probably was one of the best trailers for a film or TV show that I've ever seen.
Incredible trailer. Have you seen the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was so good. Yeah, it came in and you heard the synth and you heard the pounding, the doo-doo, and then all of a sudden you hear the lead singer Journey coming in, and it's Separate Ways. Oh man, my heart was pounding. I was so excited. Well, Netflix's Stranger Things is actually said to have been inspired by, or downright copied, from various legends surrounding the eastern tip of Long Island. In fact, the original story for Stranger Things was actually titled Montauk. The original story Bible that lays out the Duffer Brothers' plan for Stranger Things, they titled it Montauk. Now, the producers, they decided to go against that and actually use a fictional place, Hawkins and stuff like that. But for the most part, everything that happens in this story, the Duffer Brothers just lifted and they're like, yeah, that's going to be a great 80s based TV show. And boy, howdy, it sure is. It's amazing. In 1982, Preston B. Nichols published a series of books called The Montauk Project, Experiments in Time, where he first exposed the conspiracy theory that the United States military at Camp Hero was allegedly conducting experiments in fields such as time travel, teleportation, mind control, contact with extraterrestrial life, and that much of this was framed as developments which followed a successful 1943 Philadelphia experiment. Nichols claimed to recover repressed memories about his time as a subject in these mysterious experiments. Soon, others involved with the Montauk Project came forward to corroborate some of Nichols' seemingly bizarre and impossible claims. In 1984, a movie called The Philadelphia Experiment was released. This is where things get interesting. Have y'all heard of that movie? Because I had never actually heard.
No, I haven't heard of
it. I've heard of it, yeah.
Well, you were born that year, so you know, your baby ears probably heard about it as you were sitting in the crib.
Oh, yes.
Well, since, Brian, you haven't heard of it, I just learned about it. When I was researching this story, I'm going to kind of give you a quick synopsis of the conspiracy theory and the movie that it inspired. Okay, so in October of 1943, the U.S. military supposedly conducted secret experiments in the Naval Shipyard in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on a quest to discover a way to foil Nazi radar so that they could safely transport supplies to the Allies in Europe. This is the conspiracy theory. The Navy has never admitted to any of these tests taking place, but according to the conspiracy theorists, as far back as 1955, it not only succeeded in uncovering how to make its ships invisible, but accidentally managed to cause a battleship to travel, well, no one's really quite sure where. The 1984 movie, The Philadelphia Experiment, adapted from a book about this conspiracy, follows two sailors serving on the USS Eldridge during World War II. The experiment crew finds itself on the ship blinked 40 years forward in time. Once in the future, they realize that the Philadelphia Experiment has been revived in the 80s, but for the Cold War. The two experiments connect through a time-space continuum in a wormhole, and the generators on the Eldridge keep the portal open as it begins to suck in matter from 1984. That's the premise of the movie.
Okay. A little out there.
It definitely is out there, and it also underwhelmed in the box office. It wasn't a smashing hit, okay? So if you hadn't heard from it, audience, if you haven't heard about it, I understand. It wasn't a very popular movie.
I feel like a lot of people don't love movies that make you really, really think about something. Like, if you don't understand it, it's hard to. I mean, now you have your one-offs, like your
Interstellar.
Yeah, Interstellar. And, yeah, those.
Tenet.
I saw the trailer. It's trippy. Go back and watch the trailer for this movie. It's trippy. I was like, I would never watch this movie.
So this sounds like it has a lot of ties to MK Ultra, which was a CIA secret program during the 50s and into the early 60s, really in the beginning part of the Cold War, where the CIA specifically was in search of mind control drugs that could be weaponized against their enemies. It seems to be like a lot of connection. Maybe MK Ultra was the groundwork, maybe the foundational work for what you're talking about here.
I think the overarching idea here is that there are a lot of conspiracies that the government is doing secret testing for several different fringe sciences, mind control being one of them. Obviously, I mean, with this, even with this premise of the Philadelphia experiment spanning 1943 to 1955, all the way into a wormhole that connected 43 to 84, like that's several decades worth of government conspiracy. Now, we know that that was from World War II all the way through the Cold War. So there has to be some connection to the government protection and their hope to weaponize fringe science, essentially.
In Stranger Things, that's what Eleven's mom was part of. She was part of the MK Ultra experiments, which is what led to Eleven's telepathy and her mind control.
In 1988, after watching the movie The Philadelphia Experiment, a man named Al Bielek was able to uncover repressed memories working on the Montauk Project after some New Age techniques and uncovered that his real name wasn't Al Bielek. It was Edward Cameron. And that he also worked on the Philadelphia Experiment with his brother, Duncan Cameron, when both men were in their mid-20s. Now back to Nichols. He claimed he'd worked with Bielek, or I guess Cameron, on something called the Montauk Chair, a piece of furniture that used electromagnetics to amplify psychic powers, and even wrote about it in his book series, The Montauk Project. Coincidentally, Cameron's brother Duncan was found to have psychic powers and became the focus of many of the Montauk Chair experiments. Apparently, Duncan can manifest objects just by thinking about them while in the Montauk Chair. So let's kind of back up just a little bit, because I feel like there's a lot going on between the Montauk Project, the Philadelphia Experiment. A little bit more about Al Bielek that we should probably understand, and about the connection between the Philadelphia Experiment and the Montauk Project, is that Al Bielek, Edward Cameron, believed that his 1943 body, which aged into the 80s as an old man during the Montauk Project, his mind was put into a younger man in 1963. The child that they start using for the Montauk Project experiments, Duncan Cameron, who's actually Al Bielek's brother, Edward Cameron's brother, is said to be the child of Edward Cameron, who somehow convinced his parents in 1963 to have a brother. Okay, I just want y'all to try to wrap your head around what I just said, because I almost don't understand what I just said.
Yeah, so if you're not already confused, that just kind of adds to it.
Yeah, this just adds nice. To it. Okay. Now, most of this came out of repressed memories that came about through New Age techniques, meditation, hypnotism, things like that. So our narrator is not the most credible. I feel like we can confidently say that.
Yeah, I would agree.
In his book, Nichols writes of other boys being brought in and experimented on. Some were sent through a portal into the unknown of space and time. Nichols goes on to write that Duncan was able to open a wormhole to 1943, but together they would find time travel to be too dangerous. A contingency program was developed to shut down the Montauk Project. When prompted with a phrase whispered in his ear, Duncan summoned a monster from his subconscious. Now, several employees who worked on the Montauk Project claimed to see the monster tearing through the tunnels, eating everything and everyone it could. Although, I will say, many of those employees had different descriptions for what the beast actually looked like.
So this is all just self-accounts of what they saw or what happened to them while they were either hypnotized or...
Mostly from repressed memories that they later remembered. Okay?
Sure.
Of course, Nichols had to destroy the Montauk chair and smash all the equipment for the Montauk Project before the beast could disappear into nothingness. And employees were then brainwashed, and in 1984, the Montauk Project was officially closed by filling the lower levels with cement of Camp Hero. The theory suggests that the lower levels of Camp Hero right now are pretty much filled with cement and you can't access where the Montauk Project took place.
What would be the purpose of entirely filling an area, a basement area?
That's just what was written in Nichols' book, was that's what happened.
It's interesting.
Similar to, spoiler alert, what happened at the end of season 2 of Stranger Things when they filled the basement of the energy plant with concrete.
Like I said, Duffer Brothers are no idiots. They lifted quite a wonderful conspiracy theory into a beautiful series. So what proof do we have that any of this actually took place? Besides the several recorded interviews, which you can go back and listen to many interviews from both children who were supposedly kidnapped and previous employees of the Montauk Project, and even a video interview with Al Bielek himself, old Edward Cameron. Let's not forget, we also have the pic taken in 2008 of the Montauk Monster, as it was so elegantly dubbed, that washed up on the shore. And no one can actually agree what that creature actually is. Most scientists suggest it's a water-decomposed raccoon, some think it's a dog, some think it's something else. Where it was found was very close to Camp Hero. It was about 2 or 3 miles away from where Camp Hero is. And actually, there's another facility on the tip of Long Island where a lot of animal experiments take place. Are they connected to Camp Hero? Not really sure. Not much is known about that either. We'll post the pic on our Instagram and you can tell us, but maybe there's just a little bit more. Urban explorers still venture into Camp Hero on Long Island, where some claim you can still hear screams in the abandoned tunnels of experimented children. Sporadic reports persist that the closed base still draws military levels of power despite being, quote-unquote, inactive. The truth about Camp Hero and the Montauk Project incidents continues to be concealed beneath multiple layers of rumor, myth, and now, for our entertainment, the fiction of Stranger Things. So I open it up to you. After everything we've heard, what do we think? What do we think happened?
I think it was just a coincidence that this creature, animal, whatever it is, washed up on shore, especially 20 years later.
I mean, it's not a very big creature if it's just the decomposing body of a raccoon.
No, it's not very big, but...
I don't know. As a subscriber to all things time travel in the MCU vein, time travel just does not work that way, being able to affect what happens in the future.
So what do you think happened at Camp Hero?
I can definitely see like some mind control testing or hypnosis, that sort of thing may have taken place, and they fed these kids and with these ideas or with these thoughts, and that's why they were recalling them later.
I mean, scientifically, you know, biologically, we don't use even close to probably 25% of our brain. So I don't think that there is any way for us to know what can and cannot be done. I do think that they were probably practicing and continuing the MK Ultra project, because that is well documented.
Or maybe it was like a revamp.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if there's one thing that I believe about the government is that nothing ever truly goes away. It just gets repackaged and repurposed into another project or, you know, another shell corporation. And so, yeah, I think it's probably still happening today. More secretive. I think that it's absolutely credible.
I would say that the hardest part that I believe is that Edward Cameron went back and convinced his parents to have another child, and that was that's Duncan Cameron. That's the only part of the story that I'm like, okay, Al, I'm gonna need you to come off your New Age techniques for a minute and think logically.
Right.
But this is why I love exploring the 80s and unsolved cases in the 80s, because so many things come to light that then get either pushed down or brushed under the rug or covered up, as we, you know, say nowadays, the great cover up and cover ups this and cover up that. It's almost like in this time period, people were starting to talk more about it. And all of a sudden we've had to figure out how to cover, like the government has had to figure out how to cover things up better. Because what's interesting to me is now it's 2022. We don't really hear about this type of thing anymore. Now, maybe we're smarter as a culture, or maybe we've transcended our intelligence to understand that it's just not possible and it's just fiction. Science fiction is just, you know, the future is now just more about what transportation can get us from one place to the other. I feel like we've almost all but abandoned things like time travel and mind control and what have you. But I just also feel like, why don't we get these reports anymore?
There comes a certain point where like technology and science does look like magic. Mm-hmm. And I think that we exist in a culture today that, you know, we're so, I mean, we have more computing power in our pocket than they did to land on the moon. For those of you that actually think we did land on the moon.
Which, by the way, just a quick side note, in Nichols's book, he also claims that the moon landing was a part of the Montauk Project and the Philadelphia Experiment, by the way. Just FYI.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
In fact, Camp Hero, according to Nichols' book, is where they filmed the moon landing, in the basements.
Interesting.
I think this is what's so interesting to me about conspiracies, especially conspiracies from the 80s, and we'll see with other stories maybe in this time period that in the 80s, the government got really good at covering things up, and I think they've only perfected that. So if there is something science fiction happening, something that is inhuman or maybe not a little more paranormal happening, I believe they've just gotten very good at covering it up.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think a lot of it has to do with the human rights side of things. And like, should humans go through this sort of research, should go through these sort of things anymore? Mm-hmm. Is it ethically right or wrong?
I don't think it was right in the 80s either, right? Because they were kidnapping children, apparently.
Right. But I think that is just a segue of why they're not doing it anymore. Or if they are, nobody knows about it.
But no, that's really cool. I mean, I love when stuff that I watch is based even loosely in stuff that could have happened. So I love Stranger Things, and I found that story riveting because I'm a huge conspiracy theorist and I love government cover-ups and, you know, everything paranormal. So
you don't love government cover-up. You love researching government cover-ups.
I want to uncover a government cover-up.
The reason why I love the story so much was when I learned how much of it was lifted to be Stranger Things. I mean, we got season 4 coming out. I'm really excited about that. And I think I'm going to watch it with a whole new perspective now.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Kind of understanding. And I'm almost thinking I might have to buy Nichols' book just to really read all sorts of the crazy that he writes in there.
Yeah. Now, there has to be some factual base to what he talks about, and with being whether the government was involved or what they were doing, because it's hard for me to believe that stuff like this doesn't happen every day and the general public is just completely unaware.
You know, there's a movie that came out probably a decade ago called American Ultra, and it had Jesse Eisenberg in it. Mm-hmm. And it was all about him as a special agent with all these skills that are dormant in his mind. And he's living out this mediocre, nothing life until he gets activated. And it just, that really makes you think, like, how many of those people are there out there that have been part of these kind of experiments that are just like waiting to be activated because parts of their mind have been unlocked and then shut down.
That's what's fascinating about science fiction, right? When you think about even like even Marvel, the Winter Soldier, human experiment used to weaponize. It's something that's persisted in our culture, pop culture, conspiracy culture. It's something that's persisted for the last, 43 to now is what, 60, 70 years, 80 years?
Yeah, Netflix did a whole documentary called Wormwood on MKUltra. So it's really cool.
Well, for those of you who are listening, sounds like we have your entire next series of Netflix shows to binge. Stranger Things, of course, and then, of course, Wormwood. And if you're a reader, go buy Nichols' book, Montauk Project. I think you'll enjoy it.
This episode was written by Joey Thompson with discussion from Jeremy Thompson and Brian McIntyre and was recorded at Starscream Studio. Grayson over at Starscream is an incredible producer and engineer, so be sure to visit starscreamstudio.com for all your tracking and recording needs. Additional audio support by Will Compton and original music composed by Nick McClure. Be sure to subscribe, and when you do, drop a line in the comments and say hi. We want to hear your grim stories too. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next episode.